Now, I'm just wondering, you know, in your relationships, whether or not you find yourself retaining your individuality, or are you the kind of person who, once you've been dating for a couple of dates, you need to absolutely be with that person all the time? When you walk into the room, you want to be introduced as that person's partner. And at the same time, you know, you kind of give up on friends for a little bit for as long as you're always with the partner. Are you at the risk of potentially sort of blending into your partner, and are you still being yourself? We speak to an expert on this who is Anri Vandenberg, speaking to us from Pretoria. She's the owner and operator of Vita Nova Consulting. We'll be chatting to her in a second. Stay tuned.
Upfront with Rafilwe Moloto, only on Cape Talk.
Good morning, Anri. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Rafilwe. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. We wanted to chat to you a little bit about finding the balance in our relationships during this segment on the self, between, I suppose, opening ourselves and exposing ourselves to being enveloped by love, especially in new relationships, and what the balance is between that and losing ourselves in those relationships. Can you give us a particular perspective on what the difference is between accommodating another and losing oneself?
I think that's a very good question. It's a very important distinction to make. I think, especially in new relationships, every relationship goes through different stages. And the first stage that you find in the relationship is that infatuation stage, that phase where the person is all you can think of. You want to spend all your time with that specific person. And that is a very normal phase to go through. And that wears off after a while. In that specific phase as well, you've got all the love hormones being excreted, like dopamine and norepinephrine and oxytocin, all of the bonding hormones. So losing yourself in that specific phase is quite normal and quite natural. You'll see that in new relationships, in your friends, and even if you're in one specifically yourself. But over time, that kind of wears off, and the relationship moves into the next phase, which is that reality or disillusionment phase, and so on and so on. But the difference between that and accommodating a partner is we've got to remember that relationships are hard work. And right. I think that's probably one of the biggest misconceptions that I find in my counseling practice, is people have that assumption that the moment that I'm in a relationship, when I found the person that I really like and want to spend my life with, or whatever the case might be, it's not supposed to be that difficult. And actually it is. It takes a lot of give and take, and that's where that balance is. If we're giving, both of us are giving, both of us are sacrificing and compromising a little bit for the benefit of the relationship, that's good. That's a good balance. But when you're in a specific space in your relationship, when you've already worked through that infatuation phase, and you're losing your identity, in other words, who you are, the stuff that makes you you, if you've got to compromise that to keep the other person's love and affection and interest, that's not a healthy space to be.
Indeed. I mean, in just not even just your personality and the inner corners of your personality, but often there are, from comic strips to relationship plot lines and TV shows, about getting to that stage of the relationship. I mean, it's always said with levity, but you know, when you can use the toilet with the door open, or you don't mind the, I think for guys it's clipping your toenails in bed and whatnot. That's obviously extreme, but those are just sort of the physical manifestations of being oneself. What are some of the, I suppose, personal issues we should be looking out for to prevent us from losing ourselves from a personality perspective?
Okay, I think one of the big things that you might be having to look out for is if you are sacrificing your own passion or dreams or future goals, if that is kind of being lost in an attempt to keep the other person happy or interested, or to make your relationship work. In other words, I can't be who I am, otherwise my relationship is not going to work, or otherwise my partner is not going to be happy. That's a red flag. Another thing that you can also look out for is if you find yourself in a position where you start running every small little decision about your life past your partner. So you can't have that autonomy to make decisions for yourself. You start kind of checking in whether my decisions are okay. And I'm not talking about big things like stuff that's really going to influence the relationship. But if it's personal things and you start checking in whether I've made the right decision, that also often leads to, or is in combination with, a loss of self-confidence. If you walk into a relationship quite confidently, and you work through all those phases of a relationship. And if we've got time, I would love to just share that with you as well, to kind of normalize relationships for people as well. But if you find yourself in a position where you were, or you used to be, a very nice and confident person, and you start doubting your abilities, your thoughts, your actions, if that self-confidence is starting to kind of go out the door, that's a red flag as well. If you're in a position where you start finding that you're lowering your standards,
yes,
that you're compromising your morals and your values, kind of talked into situations that you know is kind of in contrast to who you are or what you believe or what you stand for,
yes,
but you do that in order to keep the relationship, I think that's the whole thing. The intent is to keep this person's attention. The intent is to keep the person from moving away. That's a red flag, because that is not unconditional. If they, you know, that unconditional acceptance, unconditional love of who you are. So those are the things that you really start to need to look out for. Walking on eggshells. Am I doing this right? Am I doing this right? You can't just be. The freedom to be is just not there.
Now, I want to just distinguish something. You know, we speak quite a bit in the segment on the self about concerns around abuse in relationships, whether it be verbal or otherwise. I'm trying very hard to focus not even on the extremes of that kind of abuse, but where one self inflicts these parameters on oneself. And you speak about how relationships are very needs-based. What are the kinds of things... I've heard in the past relationship experts talking about them, about human beings finding a hook for or something. Every human being is sort of fills up a space or a gap in another human being, and that's how relationships work, or something along those lines. What are those needs that we're filling?
Okay. I think when it comes to needs, what I usually say to people, and I think this is probably, if you were to try and build a good, healthy, solid relationship, the crux of the matter for me is that we as human beings are need-driven. If you think about all the decisions that we make in life, there's a need accompanying it. So we've got emotional needs, cognitive needs, social needs, physical needs, financial, spiritual, and so on. And if I'm in a relationship where my needs are being met, in other words, where I'm getting what I'm wanting, that's a good relationship. And if I'm in a relationship where my needs are not being met, that's not a great relationship. That's where the hiccups and everything start. And that's oftentimes throughout those phases where the crisis stage starts getting into play or coming into play. But we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Yes.
If, however, there's a... So in other words, if we want to create a relationship where both of us feel loved, accepted, wanted, appreciated, cared for, all of those things, your needs are going to be key there. And that's why healthy and effective communication is so important. If I know what my needs in a relationship are, and I can communicate that healthily and effectively, I can empower my partner to meet those needs for me, because he or she might not even be aware of the stuff that I need because we're different. But what you're talking about, I think, is more of a deep-seated, like a hole that I'm trying to fill.
Yes.
Like, I need somebody else to make me okay because I'm not okay within myself.
Right, like validation.
Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so I think in that regards, there's a lot of reasons for that. It might be abuse, childhood abuse. It might be neglect. It might be trauma that we have gone through. And sometimes there are, look, there's no such thing as a perfect person. And there's no such thing as a perfect partner or a whole person, in a sense, because we all have our little quirks and our things that have kind of formed us to make us who we are. And we were raised by imperfect people, and we go through life that just kind of molds us over. So we all have little scars that might not be able to heal quite well. And those might have, as a result, some deep-seated things that we actually need to resolve within ourselves before we get into a relationship. The expectation is that the relationship is going to fill that need, but in actual fact, you'll find that that a relationship can help. A relationship can form a good, solid base for you to work on it. So it's not that you shouldn't be in a relationship necessarily, but you should be aware of whether or not that is a relationship need or whether that is a deep-seated personal emotional need. I hope I've answered your question.
You have. We're in a world where we're very self-aware and often self-diagnosing. You know, we're much more cognizant and discursive about syndromes and the like. to the extent that I sometimes wonder, and I put this to you, I wonder whether or not we are over fraught with the notion of difficulty in our past. And I ask that because you mentioned, and you wonderfully answered my question about what might be triggering that, and it might be some kind of a deep-seated loss or abuse as a child. Is there no room for the possibility that I just had such a great childhood, for example, and I was so loved by my mom that I'm a smothering person? Or that I had so much fun with my friends as a kid that, you know, I'm a very independent lover. I wonder if we give as much validity to the positive impacts on how we engage with one another and how they might impact those deep-seated needs that might either make us an amoeba or make us, a conjoined couple, or make us very highly individualistic.
I agree with you 100%. I think the reason why we focus so much, or in my perspective, why I focus on the negative, is because that's the stuff that I'm dealing with on a daily basis.
For sure.
Is more of the negative. People come for relationship counseling when there's negative experiences.
Yes.
But it's very good for a couple to maybe go and sit and say, what are all the positives that we have and where do they come from and how can we utilize that in our relationship? And that's also why certain partners will work and other partners won't. So you'll have a combination of people where one person wants to really smother and the other one just can't stand it. You know, that kind of, we often get that thing where people feel controlled or possessed in a sense, and the other person just wants to kind of love and dote on the person. So to understand that even though it might not be a negative for one person or one relationship dynamic, it might be a negative in another relationship dynamic.
For sure.
So I do think the importance is, or in relationships as well, to focus on what is positive for us and kind of offset that on the negative. Because I do think that a lot of the time we only focus on the things, and that brings me to another topic, in relationships and trying to keep relationships healthy and happy. We often start seeing the things that are not okay, and that starts to become our focus, and that starts to become the thing that gets all our attention. And as a result thereof, our headspace is quite filled with the negative, and we kind of lose the positives that are still there. It's just not weighing enough because we make the negatives weigh so much.
For sure. If you're just tuning in, I'm chatting to Henri Vandenberg, who's the owner and operator of Vita Nova Consulting. I'm very eager to hear some of your input onto this conversation and hopefully get some of your questions answered by Henri in a moment.
This one's for the active citizens who went further than having a dream for a better world. The ones who didn't ask who would do it, but said, I will do it.
Amazing people doing extraordinary things.
Your hard work and dedication brought a smile to someone's face, opened minds, set hope alive. You changed someone's life. You are someone's hero. And LEADSA wants to applaud you for your exceptional work. If you are out there doing amazing things in your community or know someone who deserves the title of LEADSA Hero of the Month, visit leadsa.co.za and nominate your hero today.
That's a djembe drum. And this is a saxophone. Working together, the two are magical, proving that where local meets global, real growth happens. Introducing SNG Grant Thornton, an integration of local audit and advisory pioneer, Sizwe Nsaluba Koboto, and global frontrunner, Grant Thornton. Purpose-built to lead you to bigger, bolder breakthroughs. To unlock growth beyond borders, visit SNG Grant Thornton, an instinct for growth.
It's the men's high jump final. Up first, that's strange, he's removing the landing pad. He's putting a mattress there instead. Well, there goes that famous run-up. He clears the bar. That's a very comfortable landing. He's not getting up. With luxury brands like Sealy, Simmons and Cloud9, getting back to your new bed from Tafelberg Furnishes is all you'll be thinking about. Shop awesome beds at tafelberg.co.za or visit a Tafelberg Furnishes near you.
Put the action into transaction. Don't just be next level. Be on a whole other level. Do business with Vox. Get Vox Fiber to your business starting from 2,499 Rand per month. Level up your experience with uncapped calling, hardware rental, IT solutions, and over 160 other products to enhance your business. Work smart. Level up with Vox. Visit vox.co.za to view our range.
T's and C's apply.
Panda for an estimated 60 million rand jackpot on Powerball this Tuesday and an estimated 57 million rand jackpot on Lotto this Wednesday. Buy your tickets now from participating retailers, the National Lottery website or our mobile app. Panda Pusha Play. Players must be 18 years and older. Play responsibly.
Upfront with Rafilwe Moloto, only on Cape Talk.
Welcome back to it. We're still chatting to Anri Vandenberg, owner and operator of Vita Nova Consulting, about our relationships and whether or not we get lost in our relationships. Anri, we have one caller, Zimbini from the CBD, who had a question for you. Good morning, Zimbini. Yes.
Morning, Rafilwe. Morning, listeners. Hi there, doctor.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very good. You know, I think probably less of a question and far more of a comment.
Yes.
Okay. It's not working. I think for me, I'm hearing a lot, and I think you touched on it with Rafita earlier, around the negatives and what you mostly deal with in relationships. I think for me, I suppose what I wanted to contribute to the show was that relationships tend to be all the things that you are describing, and they are those things at a point in time. And sometimes we are on the receiving end of abuse. Sometimes we are on the giving end of abuse. And I think for me, the concern is around the continuity around that behavior within a relationship. But the most important thing is, I think if you're going into a relationship, you've got to acknowledge that you're going into a relationship because you actually want to grow. I don't think relationships are necessarily there to make us comfortable. And I think that's really important for listeners to actually understand as well. And I think that orientation is important. I mean, I've been married 11 years. I've got two kids with my husband, and I have grown immensely, and I've seen him grow as well. But I think it's in the decision of wanting to grow with this person that has kind of built our relationship. So I think an individual, and the segment is about self. So one must make that self-commitment to say, I want to grow in this relationship. And I think maybe I think that's important for people to also have in mind in the context of this conversation.
I get that. And am I correct in sort of bringing that or distilling that to say it's not a panacea to get into a relationship that's going to keep you happy, but it's a place almost, it's more the learning than the degree?
100%.
Anri, your thoughts?
In my view,
yes. I absolutely agree with the listener. I absolutely agree with it. I think oftentimes we've got this expectation. That's where that second phase of relationship comes in. My reality and my expectation doesn't meet up. And that's a normal phase for a lot of couples to go through. We've got that infatuation. We absolutely adore one another. Everything is amazing and perfect. Then we move through that to the reality or the disillusionment phase, where we start realizing, okay, but there are little things that are starting to bother, and there are little things that are scratching. And like she said, we're on the receiving and the giving end of conflict and arguments and all of that. And then we move through that crisis phase where power struggles start coming into play.
Right.
It's about who's right and who's wrong and whose way are we going to do this? Because I have a certain way and you've got a certain way. And if a couple can navigate through that crisis phase successfully, they move into that deeper, comfortable love phase, which has its positives and its negatives as well. But a lot of people give up in that reality or disillusionment phase or that crisis phase because they say, nope, this is not for me, and they get out. Because the assumption is that it's supposed to be comfortable. It's supposed to be easy. But nothing in life that's worthwhile is easy.
Right.
Nothing in life that's worthwhile is
that's
easy.
That's amazing.
Zimbini, you'd agree with that?
I often say
completely.
Apologies,
sorry. I completely agree. Sorry, Rafilwe. Like for me, I think what's just been said now is actually the critical point.
Excellent.
Nothing worthwhile will ever be easy. And anyone getting into a relationship, making the assumption that it's going to be a fairy tale, I think that's where you probably are that's where the misstep or the misexpectation is potentially sitting.
Fantastic. Thanks. Thank you for that contribution. Anri, sorry.
No, that's fine. So I completely agree with that. I think that it's hard work. It is that give and take part. And if we have the assumption that it's going to be easy and it's got to meet my needs wholeheartedly, regardless of the other person, that's where that disconnect comes in. And I often say to people who come into counseling, if you don't grow together, you will grow apart. So you've got to find ways of working through those crises, not just ignore them. Don't sweep them under the carpet and think, oh, it's a phase that we're going through. Oh, you know, time will make this better. Or maybe the person is just in a bad mood. Give it a bit of time. But if that thing is a persistent thing, you've got to address it. You've got to say, listen, this is not okay. How are we going to handle this? And in those healthy and effective conversations that we have, that's where that growth takes place.
Indeed.
Again, I want to give that difference between that positive growth and losing yourself. If you start realizing, okay, but I am constantly the one that has got to give in, and me compromising and helping our relationship grow is at the cost of who I am as an individual. That's the losing part.
For sure.
So that's where the difference comes in. I can't be myself in this relationship.
Now, interestingly, an anonymous WhatsApp came through that's very much in line with that, saying, "Hi, Rifile, I am married for 46 years and I'm still being myself. Trust me, it was a battle, but I refused to allow myself to be joined at the hip and lose who I am. At 70, I am still doing my own thing and so does my husband, but we do things together as well." Isn't that precious?
That's perfect. Yeah, that's perfect. I think often there are couples who actually pride themselves on their independence and on their individuality, and that's amazing and that's really good. That's good to have that individual, because you've got to be yourself in it and you've got to have your own identity within the relationship. But at the same time, please don't forget, and I think this person mentioned that they still do things together.
Yes.
If you only focus on the me, you might pride yourself on this absolute independence, but 20 years down the line, not know who the person is that you're married to anymore.
And at the end,
completely losing each other in it.
And at the end of the day, so, you're not looking for a roommate. It's
exactly,
more than that. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm curious, Anri, the principles that are being discussed here and that we tend to discuss in romantic relationships, I tend to use friendships as a proxy sometimes. And I don't find myself, and maybe it's because the friendships are, you know, you can have several at once, usually. Not many of us are polyamorous. But why does it seem as though there's a different set of rules for how I would approach a deeply loving multi-year or multi-decade friendship from that which I would approach, a partnership where I can never say you're my best friend, but it's just known that you're my best friend by behavior. But we have to articulate these things to understand whether or not we'll be conjoined or be able to be independent and secure enough to be independent in a romantic relationship.
I think it's very important to realize that people have different expectations of relationships. So one person's expectation of a friendship is going to differ from another person's expectation of a friendship.
Yeah.
Some people have very big, huge expectations. Other people have less. And the same comes into play when it comes to romantic relationships. There's a tongue-in-cheek joke that they make where they say men get married with the idea and the expectation that nothing's going to change, and women get married with the idea and the expectation that everything's going to change because we're now married.
Right.
So it's not a friendship, it's now a marriage. And there are certain rules that apply to being married that doesn't necessarily apply with a friendship. And that's often where a lot of conflict comes in when it comes to relationship counseling or marriage counseling, those expectations. So I think what is important for a couple to do is to sit together and maybe discuss those expectations before they get married, if we're talking about marriage specifically. So this is what I need in a relationship. My ideal partner would look as follows. We have a very nice little exercise that we do that you can easily do with your partner. It's called a relationship vision. So to sit together as two individuals, not talking with one another necessarily regarding it, but going to make draw up like a relationship vision. The ideal relationship in my mind would look as follows with regards to finances, house, family life, time spent, vacations, holidays. So go and draw up a whole list of not expectations necessarily, but that vision that you have in mind.
Yes.
And then come together and share that and say, how does it differ? And are the differences that we pick up, because there are going to be differences, how important are those differences to each of us? So you can definitely get an idea of what this person is planning or envisioning for the future, and to what extent does that kind of match up with yours.
Yeah.
And in saying that, when we speak about needs, remember we've got emotional needs, cognitive, social, financial, physical, and spiritual needs. Some of those needs are negotiable and some of them are not.
Yeah.
And you really have got to make sure that you that you communicate these needs and expectations. Because let's say, for example, let's talk about losing yourself again.
Right.
Let's say, for example, all you've ever wanted to be was a mother. Okay, you want kids, you want this big, huge family. That's a part
of your
identity. It's a part of who you are. And that's non-negotiable. So if you get into a relationship with somebody that says, I don't want kids, that's a non-negotiable for you. So you've then got to go and say, how negotiable are you on this? And if that person says it's a non-negotiable, then move along.
For sure.
And not because the person is not a good person, but because your deep-seated wants and desires and expectations of life together are not going to be matching up.
For sure. And they certainly need to be met. Thank you so much for that, Anri Vandenberg, owner and operator of Vita Nova Consulting, giving us a lot to think about there. It's just gone 11:01.